Now, if hypothetically Bangladesh were to qualify and move on into this group, they would play their first game against Pakistan in Eden Gardens in Kolkata. Now, Pakistan, Kolkata is traditionally Pakistan's best ground for games. They have the most friendly Indian home crowd there. That being said, it's against Bangladesh. Yeah. So they will, if they play Bangladesh there, I feel like they will, the crowd will not be on their side. And Bangladesh have had the wood on Pakistan in T20. So I'm totally expecting them to win if they get there.
Yeah.
If it's Iran, Netherlands or Oman, I don't know. Ireland have a good record against Pakistan, but I can't say anything about the others. It's new territory, really.
Yeah, if it's Oman or Netherlands, it's basically new territory. You think Pakistan would have the firepower to beat either of those teams? I think if it's Bangladesh, I think you're right. I think Bangladesh will win that one. Mm. If it's Ireland, that could probably be a bit more closer. I would probably tip Ireland just because it does seem to be the thing that the Irish team does at World Cups is beat Pakistan. It's just their thing now.
That being said, after that, let's just hypothetically assume it is Bangladesh that makes it through. For the purposes of this podcast, I am in no way saying that it's guaranteed, and it could very well be any of those other teams, as we've mentioned.
Yeah.
They've got two games in Bangalore back to back, Australia and India. If they can beat Pakistan, and I don't know if they can get a result against Australia, but nothing's impossible in T20.
No, exactly.
They definitely build up that momentum, and while they may not win against India and Bangalore, they can, they may not need to.
Yeah.
They know they've got another game in Kolkata up their sleeve against New Zealand. This group could actually turn out to be like a group of death thing with everyone beating Pakistan, like hypothetically just saying, and not getting results against all the other teams in the in that group.
Yeah, I think the group is going to come down. Even the thing is that Pakistan can throw, might just be the spanner in the works then, and who they beat, who they run close to and therefore ruining net run rates and such like, could be the teams that go home.
Well, Pakistan get to play India this World Cup again, and Pakistan famously beat India in the T20 World Cup final. Not the first T20 World Cup final, which India famously won, but they won the second tournament. And they get to play India in Eden Gardens, which is also the infamous arena where India played a semi-final game against Sri Lanka in the World Cup in 1996, which had to be called off because of crowd trouble.
Ooh.
I know what my people are like. but like I said, Kolkata, because of its strong Bengali community, also lots of people from East Bengal or Bangladesh living there, there's a reasonable amount of Pakistani support.
Yeah.
So the game, Pakistan won't have all the crowd against them. That being said, it's hard to see India lose to Pakistan. They're just too good, I think.
It is very hard to see them lose to it. As you say, it is sort of at the ground at the right time.
Especially if they lose that game to Bangladesh, because they'll just follow up that up with India.
Yeah, yeah.
And their supporters could desert them at that point.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of one of those, great uncertainties there. It depends a bit on what's happened beforehand.
I would love it though if they did lose all their games to India, Bangladesh and New Zealand and then beat Australia and kept them out of qualifying for the top two position.
That would just be funny actually, yes.
And in Mohali, that's absolutely possible. It's in Punjab, near their home country. While they may not get that many supporters, I don't know who Indian fans hate more, Pakistan's cricket or Australian cricket team.
Yeah, that's, who knows. That may come down to, you say, if Pakistan's lost all their previous games and it's Pakistan wins, kicks Australia out, then the crowd might be on Pakistan's side just because it, two birds, one stone.
Especially if India need Pakistan to win, to qualify. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting tournament. I, for one, cannot wait. So, other than New Zealand players, any other players from the other team that you particularly look forward to seeing?
You can't not wait to see what David Warner's going to do. It's going to be fireworks one way or the other. Hopefully he has little moans between games as well. That's always quite fun.
AB de Villiers?
Yeah, AB de Villiers.
Probably the best limited overs batsman in the world?
What's probably about it, really? I mean, the only probably before would have been when BMAC was still playing, you might stick a probably in there between it. I mean, there's others as well, but AB de Villiers is
this
just
Chris
so
Gayle, and for the West Indies, possibly his last ever World Cup tournament.
Yeah, and so it's a chance for him to win a World Cup. And
well,
with
a
Chris
second Gale, World Cup, because he's won one with the West Indies.
Sorry, yes, yeah. Chance to win another
level
World,
anyway.
Yeah, another World Cup. And say, with Chris Gayle on their team, doesn't really matter what the rest, almost doesn't matter what the rest of the Windies team is doing. Chris Gayle can win the game by himself, almost. Mm-hmm. He can bat a team into submission and then bowl ridiculously good four overs to ensure that they can't score at the right rate. So the West Indies are such a wild card sometimes that, especially
when
playing, it's just it's unknown.
But it's very hard to predict because they don't have Sunil Narine, who is going to be ridiculously missed. Probably
the best.
He's basically taking over Daniel Vittori's mantle as the best T20 bowler in the world, probably. That said, losing Narine, losing Syed Ajmal. There's not many, which bowlers are we looking forward to seeing? There's Ravi Ashwin, obviously, in very good form, rather.
Mitchell Stark's playing here.
Mitchell Stark will be playing.
So he's going to be very dangerous.
Gale Steyn, possibly
Gale
one of his last tournaments.
Yeah. Monty Morkel, see.
I don't know if Monty Morkel's playing. We'll
don't know, I'll have to have a look. But Steyn, yeah, definitely. It's getting near the end of his career. It could be one of his last tournaments, his last chance to really show what he's worth and put in a winning performance. I mean, there's not many teams that don't have someone you don't want to watch.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The T20s are very exciting.
Yeah.
It's not pure cricket, but it's cricket enough. And it's so...
Well, what's so great about pure anyway? Do you prefer Steiny pure or the old Steiny? It really just depends on your mood, right?
It does depend on your mood. I mean, I enjoy a good test match where the ball and the batter are quite evenly matched and you've got all the plans and the captain setting his fields and the batter's definitely avoiding all the traps and it's quite an enjoyable sort of thing to watch, but as you say, it's a definite mood. You've got to be sitting in for a couple of hours to watch nothing really happening.
The thing about a test match is, I think in any sport in the world, and I love a lot of sports, and I know I'm biased towards football and cricket, but I do love a lot of sports. There's very few sports I don't like. But I think a perfect test match is one of the greatest sporting things you can ever watch. That's like better than almost any other sport. Like the perfect football game between two equal sides, even though I like football a lot more than cricket, doesn't compare with the perfect 5-day long test.
Well, the thing is that a perfect 5-day test is determined by the skill factor of the players.
Yeah.
There's very little chance, there's a little bit of chance of luck, but very little chance of luck.
People write novels about perfect test matches, like the tied test between the West Indies and Australia, the great 500-1 comeback where Ian Botham managed to make England come back and win against Australia in 1980. The great match where Vivesh Laxman scored 280 and made India come back and beat Australia.
Yeah.
I noticed there's a lot of trend of beating Australia in these games or tying against Australia in these games. But that's just because Australia are so good. And when a team plays really good to beat them, that's what happens. And really close test matches. In my lifetime, that 280 by Vivesh Laxman is possibly one of the great performances I've ever seen in a test match my life ever.
Yes, definitely. But as you say, test level, you get a lot of that. Especially at top level, bring it back to our topic at hand, T20s. T20s I love as well, not because there is more luck involved. It's the opposite end of the scale. Skill has a great deal with it.
I think in T20, it's more important to use your luck when you get it. Whereas in test matches, it's not so important if you miss out on your lucky opportunity as long as you keep working hard and keep grinding.
As I say, luck has less to do with it. If you've got the skill and you're doing the right things in test match, it's going to come. You're going to get your wicket or you're going to get your runs depending on which side you are. Kane Williamson showed that in Australia in the year. He just looked comfortable. They couldn't get him out. And then the Australian bowlers worked him out and set new plans and he comes back to New Zealand back in Kane Williamson friendly conditions and they're all over him. So I think that shows that was good planning, good skill, good execution on both sides of the thing. Mm. Say in T20, all these games you're talking about and the group stage and stuff, it can be carried by one or two players having their day.
And I think what's really also strange is like there's lots of perceptions we had about T20 which have just not panned out. Low scoring, close T20 games are far more exciting to watch than 200 plus slagathons between two teams that score over 200. Like, don't get me wrong, those are fun to watch. I'm not going to complain if that happens. But what, like, the classic game of, like, that West Indies final against Sri Lanka at Sri Lanka, where they only scored 130 odd and managed to bowl Sri Lanka out. That was, like, an amazing game. Like, those games are, T20 has those sort of games, and it's very rare as well, like having the comeback after batting badly and coming back with the ball. Yeah. I think we had really weird perceptions. We didn't know if spin bowling would make sense, and now we know spin bowling is uber important. It doesn't matter where you play for T20s, and in fact going into a game without at least 1.5 spinners is foolhardy. We know now that bowling is far more important than batting in T20s. Because if one bowler has a bad day, you can absolutely lose the game.
Yes.
Whereas there's always somebody down the order who can bat out and can bat 10 balls and get 20 runs and give you a score or make you have a comeback.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about T20 with batting is it doesn't actually take a big score to turn the game around. It could be a quick fire 20, you know, and that's enough to tip the game back in your favor. But as you say, if a bowler just has to have one bad over, he has a bad over, that's it. That could be the game right there and there. It could just become super easy for the other team after, if they score 25, 30 runs off an over, just because someone's just completely lost it, then, you know, the rest of the game from that point on almost becomes ridiculously easy for them.
So. And I think also because skill levels, even your most bunny-like bowler or wicketkeeper is so proficient at batting, especially for T20s where they know that at most they might need to bat maybe 5 overs and that'll be enough for their team to be in a winning position. They're more determined to get as many, to rotate the strike, beat the bad balls, fly, take their luck, and there's no fear.
I think that is it. Is that in T20s, because luck has a much bigger role. Mm-hmm. People are more willing to try to roll the dice, to ride their luck and have a bit of a go. And don't be too, you got to be a little defensive, but not too defensive, you know.
In many ways, I think T20 is a lot like football.
Yeah.
You know, because getting that ball into the, in between the posts and getting a goal has a certain element of luck in it. Every time.
Yeah.
No matter how good a striker you are, or how good a goalkeeper is defending, or how good a defense you're facing. So, much in that way, T20s, like, every best laid plan can get destroyed by a tailender who decides he's gonna hit like 3 sixes in one over and basically gets you a par score somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all it takes sometimes, you know? And all that takes is, you know, your luck being on your day and just closing your eyes and swinging the bat wildly sometimes, you know?
And inevitably that bowler will come back and get like 3 wickets for like 20 runs or something in his 4 overs.
Yeah, exactly. It's always, and that's the fun thing about T20 is that there's plenty of those sort of stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, but.
And so, leaving it at that, I'm very much so looking forward to the rest of the tournament. We look forward to your comments and feedback. And
definitely.
Thank you very much.
See you next time.
See you next time.